Hey, Power People, welcome to Renewable Rides. I'm Gareth Evans.
And I'm Dan Roberts. We're the founding team of Vecta, a platform and marketplace streamlining how companies buy on-site energy.
In each episode, we'll uncover the latest trends, challenges, and triumphs relating to the energy transition through the experiences of our team and our inspiring guests.
Our goal is to help companies take action to create a resilient, profitable, sustainable, and thriving energy future.
Let's go. Hey everyone, it's absolutely great to be back. We've had just over a month break from season one. We've taken time to reflect on what worked, what we learned. We've also had the chance to travel to Germany and check out Hanover Mess.
Yeah, tons of great interactions, learnings. It's great to see how we can compare and contrast the difference of the energy transition in Europe as compared to here in the US. And I think we'll bring a lot of that into season two here.
Yeah. And the big ask of season two is for us to really support commercial industrial business leaders to understand what it takes to successfully navigate the energy transition, which was the real catalyst for Renewable Rides to bring awareness and education to the market. And one of the repeat questions we keep getting asked that we thought we'd kick off season two with is, what does Vecta do? We'll start there, Dan, and then we'll bring lots of amazing guests and insights from the team over this season of Renewable Rides. So let's start with, what does Vecta do? Well, Vecta is the platform and marketplace that modernizes and streamlines how companies plan and buy profitable and sustainable on-site energy systems. And as a quick refresh, like, what is an on-site energy system? On-site energy system is where we generate and store energy right at our facility where we need it. So instead of being a passive consumer of energy from our utility or from the central grid, we use a variety of technologies, including solar, wind, battery storage, fuel cells, gas turbines. We find the perfect combination of those technologies to meet our energy needs, or at least a portion of them. And when done right, it really allows us to cut our costs and increase our business's bottom line. We get to build in more business continuity through resilient operations. So if there's a power outage, we can ride through that power outage. By being more sustainable, we get to attract and retain customers. So we get to win more contracts, which is becoming a real big pressure point for a lot of businesses today. A lot of employees are now demanding that they want to work for companies that have aligned values. It allows businesses to really build their brand and market themselves as being more sustainable, which then leads them to being able to increase their share price and get access to better capital, better shareholders, better investors. And so, Dan, what other part of our business could we achieve all these objectives in?
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing opportunity and one that's really hit an inflection point over the last few years. I think when we look at the broader environment, when you look at the built environment and the vast amount of underutilized space, there's an opportunity for all businesses to become their own mini power plant in many ways. And I just want everyone to think about any time they've recently been on a plane, flying over a major city or flying into a major city, and think about all of the buildings that you see that could be power plants.
And the car parks.
And if you don't think about like that, like us energy nerds, hopefully you will next time you're on a plane. But really what we're sitting here at today is this convergence of a variety of macro trends. First and foremost, many of these energy technologies, these distributed energy technologies, the prices or the cost of them have plummeted over the last 10 years, some as much as 90%, like solar, photovoltaics, and battery energy storage systems.
Yep.
The incentives for these systems have never been better, and especially with the Inflation Reduction Act, which we've touched on, and I'm sure we'll touch on again here in this season, the incentives to deploy these systems, not just here in the US, but globally, have never been better. So the load growth on the grid, as well as the grid age, means that energy prices are going up as utilities are having to fix and harden the kind of past-due invoices over the last couple decades, and reliability is going down. The opportunities for businesses to become prosumers and actually interact with the grid, generating revenue along the way and improving grid reliability with things like demand response programs, have really grown over the last couple of years. And lastly, like you said, on the sustainability side, consumer capital and regulatory pressure to decarbonize is really driving a lot of this. And one example that I think we had a whole episode on in season one, and I'll just bring back to light, is Walmart being a tremendous example.
Yeah.
Between 2016 and 2021, they were able to reduce their scope 1 and 2 emissions by about 30%, from 20 million tons of CO2 to 14 million tons of CO2. And meanwhile, they grew their revenue from $482 billion to $559 billion, proving that sustainability does not have to come at the detriment of profitability. And they largely did this through deploying on-site energy systems at over 600 of their facilities.
Yeah.
So when done right, the right combination of technologies at the right locations can have tremendous benefits. And really, companies need to focus their resources. And that's one of the biggest challenges. So all this is great. It sounds awesome. There's tons of tailwinds. But what are the utilities doing?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of hard truths about where we get our power today and the state of the grid. You know, we are all reliant on infrastructure that is now 100 years old in some cases. And you can imagine to try and maintain and keep that operating requires a huge amount of investment. And so utilities have to spend billions and billions of dollars into maintaining this infrastructure. And based on the commercial model that's been agreed, for every dollar that's spent, they get a guaranteed profit on that margin or on that investment. And then those costs get passed on to us as the ratepayers. And so what we've seen for businesses is extremely volatile, but increasing year on year cost escalations on the low side, 3%, on the high side, in excess of 50%, which is crazy, you know, trying to manage your business when the biggest input from an operational cost perspective, making up to 40% of your operating costs, can be changing in such a volatile way. And so, Dan, from like a macro perspective, what is it taking to keep this thing running?
Yeah, the numbers are pretty staggering. When you look at the U.S. electricity grid, in order to firm it up and meet the growing demand, utilities are expected by 2025 to be spending $215 billion on grid improvements.
Wow.
That's not accounting for the cost of actually generating the electricity. It's really on delivering that and the grid improvements associated with that. And we've even seen estimates as high as $1 trillion or several trillion dollars in the coming decades to fully modernize and harden the U.S. grid infrastructure to mitigate the impacts of the changing climate and of cyber threats and just of growing demand on the system as a whole.
Yep.
And so when we look at the U.S. and developed world, this is underpinned by this aging infrastructure. One example is large grid transformers, which are expected to have a useful life of 25 years, which is a pretty long life for a piece of mechanical or electronic equipment. But the average age on the U.S. grid is 40 years old. So we're going to see an increase in outages. We're already seeing, on average, the U.S. economy being impacted by about $150 billion per year due to outages. The Electric Power Research Institute, EPRI, found that power outages cost U.S. businesses on average $5,000 per minute.
Yeah.
And in some cases, in manufacturers, for example, as much as $5 million an hour. So this is going to impact the bottom line, but the continuity of businesses. And so since we're seeing so much opportunity on the one hand and the tailwinds associated with that, and the challenges with the existing centralized grid infrastructure and centralized utility model, why aren't more companies deploying these systems? And I think that largely falls into being able to answer three fundamental questions that businesses and business leaders need to ask. First and foremost, when we're talking about businesses with a large portfolio of facilities, it's where do I focus? Where do I focus my time and effort and resources? The second fundamental question, what is it that I build? Each of my sites is different. Their consumption profile, the constraints, the tariffs, the renewable resources available, they're all different. So what is it, the combination of technologies that I should build?
Yep.
And the third fundamental question is, who do I partner with? So when I identify something, who are the right partners for me? And the lack of data and having access to actionable intelligence, I think, underpins all of that. And a good example is one of our customers, a large building materials manufacturing company, spent nearly 2 years just putting together their baseline. Now, this is something that we can do in a matter of minutes today. So, Gareth, maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the other challenges within businesses to get these projects going.
Yeah, I think one of the consistent pieces of feedback we hear from a lot of our customers is around, how do you manage this diverse, multifaceted stakeholder group? Now, this isn't a one-person decision. Now, these are million-dollar investments. But to the stats you shared earlier, if you're going through a power outage for an hour and you could lose $5 million, these systems can pay off super quickly. But how do you provide the different groups within the business, the intelligence? Finance wants to know those metrics around, how much money can I save? How resilient does this make me? Ops want to be able to run their facility and know that they can meet their delivery requirements. Sustainability needs to prove their emission commitments and that they're trending towards their targets. And then you've got the C-suite pressure, you've got boards forcing everyone to act, and they're not really sure how to do that. And everyone's competing for capital because there's lots of other things across the business that need to get done. And I think the reality is, business leaders today are really good at what they do, running their business, but they've never really had to think about energy before. And so being able to provide all these stakeholder groups with the piece of data and intelligence they need to make accurate, informed, and confident decisions is really critical, and making sure they're all operating from one central source of truth.
Yeah, it's paramount. And then layer on top of that, this dynamic marketplace of suppliers that are knocking down businesses' doors every single day, trying to sell their service, trying to sell their solution. I think of two great examples when we look at our customers. One, a steel manufacturer that knew they wanted to deploy a system and had three particular companies they were going to go after, three companies that they had either done business with previously or knew were reputable suppliers, only to find out that two of them no longer deployed or worked on projects below 5 megawatts. This was a roughly 1 megawatt solar with a 2.5 megawatt hour battery system. And then the third that they were going to be going after now only offered power purchase agreement, which is a great commercial model, but this company wanted to self-finance their system. They had a very strong balance sheet. So had they stopped there, they might have thought, oh, this is not a great business case. But in reality, we were able to support them in getting half a dozen bids. I think another example would be ensuring that you're getting the most value, not just that it's a great business case, but that you're getting the most value, not necessarily the lowest cost. One customer, a large frozen warehouse company, think of a 450,000 square foot freezer, it's roughly 10 football fields.
That's huge.
They had a PPA proposal in hand from a supplier. Now, this is in a territory that they're spending 20 plus cents per kilowatt hour on their power. The PPA that they had in hand was for 13 cents a kilowatt hour. Great business case to do so, but is that the best? They met Vecta. We were able to get them 9 bids from great suppliers who had a ton of experience working on that type of facility, which there's some nuances there. Those bids range from 7.5 or 7.7 to 11 cents per kilowatt hour. They didn't go with the lowest. They're now negotiating with the top two that are ranging in that 8.8 to 9.5 cents per kilowatt hour range. So a 15 to 40% savings over the course of this 25 years, which means tens of millions of dollars. So Gareth, talk to us a little bit about what historically businesses have had to turn to.
Yeah, I think the reality is most business leaders turn to what they have done in the past and what they feel comfortable with. And up until now, that's being engaging consultants. And consultants are by their nature transactional. You know, it's all about selling billable hours. It's about selling professional expertise. And so as a business, you become quite vulnerable when you engage with consultants because everything becomes a study. It's all about expanding scope. It's all about a desktop-based study without really the tangible, actionable next steps. And this becomes very challenging. And when consultants leave, all your IP goes with them, instead of you having that IP yourself. And I was one of those consultants. I was part of the problem. And so I became very frustrated with this process of selling a study, charging hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, spending 6, 12, 24 months, only to come back and say, actually, I don't have any really great answers for you. Or here's what's possible. Now go and find someone in the market to build it for you. And so then the companies where they did see a business case, they then go to market and they try and engage with suppliers, but they've never bought an energy system before. So they don't know what questions to ask. They don't know how to manage their risks. They don't know how to compare, contrast, and ultimately select the right partner. or they're being sold to by all those suppliers. And so how do you vet? How do you compare? How do you contrast? How do you compare apples to apples? And none of that was possible. And so as a result, there just became this huge wasted cost, wasted time, and then indecision at the end of it. So that was the genesis for Vector. We wanted to create a software platform supported by the leading experts in the industry across energy, procurement, and software to automate this whole process. How do we streamline the process of being able to plan, deploy, and then ultimately optimize and monetize the asset that we are building? And these are assets. And I think that's a big takeaway for many business leaders. This isn't a random investment. This is investing in your future where you're going to get a really positive return. And so we created Vector in 2019. And many people ask where the name Vector came from. And for anyone who's created a business, trying to find a name that has not been used before is very challenging. And so it's a play on Vector, which is to provide magnitude, direction, and scale to the industry. And this led us to create our internal Vector flywheel. And so this is all about, we know our customers need tailored intelligence. So the top of our flywheel is deliver more tailored intelligence to a broader audience. How do we enable you, the business leaders, to access data that's customized to your specific needs? How do we then inspire businesses to act? So how do you then turn that data into action and having the confidence to do it? It's because you believe in it and you're being represented by Vector, which is completely solution and capital agnostic. So we represent your best interests. This then attracts great suppliers into the marketplace, ranging from construction to equipment to capital. We then enable you to deploy the right solution with the right partner. And then ultimately that then leads to positively impacting your business, your community, as well as the ecosystem, which drives down the cost for everyone. More systems get deployed, costs continually come down, everyone wins. So really, this is all about enabling business leaders to confidently accelerate the deployment of on-site energy systems. And I think what's been most exciting for us, hasn't it, Dan, is we thought that the big businesses had all this figured out and we were supporting, you know, the local microbreweries, the local grocery stores. And in the last 2 years, we've realized the biggest businesses in the world are facing the same challenges. How do they align stakeholder interests? How do they centralize data? How do they baseline where they're at today? How do they determine where they want to go? And how do they ultimately get there? And why do you think we've been successful in being able to help go up the food chain and support some of the biggest businesses in the world?
Yeah, I think the biggest piece, if we go back to what we are typically hearing from our customers and those fundamental questions, the Vector platform and our team of experts to take them on this journey is really about helping a customer with a large portfolio know, where do I build? We then look at the technical and financial viability of all commercially available technologies to know, what do I build?
Yep.
And then we deliver bids from leading on-site energy system suppliers and help with negotiation strategies to know, who do I partner with? And so it creates this dynamic in which we can zoom out and look at the whole portfolio. We can then zoom in and look at the individual sites and the nuances of those sites and the best technologies and commercial models to support the outcomes needed at those sites. We can then zoom out and look at the whole body of suppliers on the market to understand who can deliver on that project in that region, and then zoom back in to understand which ones are ultimately best, what are the risks, what are the opportunities, and who do they ultimately select to build, operate, maintain this system longer term. And so really it comes back to delivering intelligence with easily accessible data. That's one of the biggest challenges we found in the industry, is getting access to the data that is most commonly needed to make progress can be a challenge. And so with nothing more than an address and a facility type, the Vector platform pairs that with over 5,000 other data points, from environmental data to cost of deploying these systems data, to develop business case insights and know where the highest value sites are. And even that can sometimes be a challenge, getting addresses out of a company.
Yep.
We've surprisingly run into that a couple times now. We then use data science and artificial intelligence to do linear optimizations across hundreds of thousands of plausible scenarios to narrow in on the optimal combination of technologies to meet this company's goals or that particular site's goals to deliver the highest value system. Finally, we have the best suppliers in the market compete to win that business. And this competitive procurement process, where we typically see on average 5 high quality bids from great suppliers, we see it really driving down the cost of these systems. And then finally, companies with very large portfolios, rather than historically running, maybe doing one project a year, maybe 2 or 3, if they're really stretching, they can actually be doing 5, 10, in some cases, 20 projects in parallel while by using this approach. Then we typically see it reduces the cost of planning on the order of millions of dollars and the total capital cost of these projects between 10 and 40%. And so take an incredibly challenging problem statement. More and more businesses are talking about electrifying, whether that be electrifying their transportation or electrifying their operations and switching from natural gas fired or fossil fuel fired systems to electric systems, which is only going to increase their costs. Take one of the top 5 automakers in the world, which is one of our great customers, who is leveraging the Vecta platform to mobilize their auto dealers. So we talk about the challenges of doing this within a business. Think about influencing other businesses to do this. And we're talking on the scale of nearly 20,000 dealers globally. You can't do that with spreadsheets. No. You need a platform. You need access to intelligence and the best suppliers to deliver these systems. And it makes me think back to one of the core values that we have, which is empowering co-creation.
Yes.
You need the entire market to be able to do this. So, Gareth, can I help bring us home here?
Yeah. I just close your thought, Dan, actually, by saying, and it's a super dynamic market. And I think what we pride ourselves on and position the platform to do is stay up to date with all the latest trends. So how are incentives changing? How are utilities tariffs changing? How is the cost of deploying these systems, such that even if you deploy a system today, it doesn't mean that 2 years from now, it can't be upgraded or improved or there's new technology in the market. So being able to constantly dynamically manage and optimize your strategy is super critical. So yeah, awesome episode. I think the reality is there's never been a better opportunity to make an impact on your business. You know, there is an opportunity here to drive greater profitability, greater sustainability, and truly differentiate your business. And in the process, differentiate your career and have a major and positive lasting impact on your community and your legacy. And so I would encourage and hopefully inspire and here to support business leaders all over the world to embrace this opportunity. See it truly as that. It is an opportunity. It can be seen as a risk, but this is an incredible moment in time where all of these trends are converging to make this possible. And we are here to inspire you to act at scale and truly drive a more profitable and sustainable business of the future. So stay tuned for season 2. We're very excited to bring to you some incredible guests. We'll bring you all our learnings, our insights, and let's continue to all act together to unlock this incredible energy future for all.
Let's make it happen.
All right, let's go.
We receive a lot of questions from business leaders around the world wanting to learn more about the energy transition, what is possible, and where to start. So to help you stay informed and up to date on best practices, opportunities, risks, and success stories, we created an industry news feed at vecta.com/news with all our podcasts, blogs, and newsletter. Check it out and connect with Dan, myself, and the Vecta team to learn more. Cheers, and have a good one.